The following programming is sponsored by Factorum Business Solutions. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
We hot?
Yeah, we hot.
Welcome to the Tone and Tenor Show by Partisan Voice of the People. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Our show covers major issues impacting the nation, region, and local municipalities and communities from a candid and bipartisan perspective. We want to hear from you, our listeners. Call, join the conversation. Our call-in number is 1-888-329-3306. That's 1-888-329-3306. Our phone lines are now open. You can also send us your comments via social media. Our Twitter handle is at Tone and Tenor. Our Instagram handle is at Tone and Tenor Radio. You can also like us on our Facebook page. Just type in the words Tone and Tenor in the Facebook search engine to find us. Pat, you got today's opening statement?
Oh, yes, yes. Today's opening statement. You can never build the new, repairing or clinging to the old. You can't hold on to the good and great at the same time. You don't require a spotlight if you already have light. Most people don't recognize the light, but they can't withstand the glare. Leaders lead from the front, not from behind the pack. Change has many enemies, but results are not negotiable. And success leaves clues. People, prosperity, purpose, positivity, and priorities over position.
Well, you know, before we get into our interviews, we always like to do our lead-in segment. And Pat brought up an interesting thing as we celebrated Thanksgiving recently. You know, Thanksgiving, 1530s, the giving of thanks, from thanks, present principle to give, in the specific sense of public celebration acknowledging divine favors. Thanksgiving dates from 1630s. The first one in America was held October 1621 by Plymouth Colony pilgrims in appreciation of assistance from members of the Massasoit tribe and the celebration of the first harvest. Though Thanksgiving Day itself is not attested until 1670.
Yeah, I don't know if that's before or after they killed everybody and helped them out. But, oh, yeah, I thought we were going to say that, right? Wrong. Yeah, I mean, we're not going to get to the gory details, but yes, that even led into the expansion west to the Trail of Tears. And our reference is NPRHistory.com, the Smithsonian, BBC. So it ain't us talking, right? These are white
the folks that are
white, you know, publications.
And you know, today, you know, is the infamous day known as Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. economy started to decline against the gold after millions of greenbacks were non-redeemable after the war. Gold then became a premium. The earliest known use of the term Black Friday stemmed from the 1869 gold crash. Philadelphia's cops being overworked and a practice of workers calling in sick the day after Thanksgiving so they could have time off.
Yep.
Also known as the Blue Flu in modern day.
Yep.
You know, that's real interesting because just recently I made a phone call to 911 in Philadelphia as I was coming into the station. And 911 for Montgomery County picked straight up on Belmont Avenue, and they put me on hold and transferred me over to 911 Philadelphia. I was on hold for 14 rings. Glad nobody was getting beat.
I mean,
it was because of illegal dumping in the 4th District, Mr. 4th District, Curtis Jones. This is the second time I have reported illegal dumping in your district, in the park, and illegal dumping is a part of destroying our climate and our parks.
Well, it's not even just that. It's just stupid. Because where do you think the trash is going?
Hold on. And the bad part about it, they're using a U-Haul van.
Yeah, well, I will see to it personally.
We shall see whether or not Philadelphia Police or Philadelphia City Councilman Curtis Jones and council will do something
about it. I don't care what they do
this time.
We'll make sure that something happens.
You know,
one thing I forgot to reference too. So the date that Randall mentioned, 1778 to 1871, the United States signed over 368 treaties, which they broke, and they broke them all.
Well, that's what the indigenous people. They broke them all.
All, not just some, just all.
You know, all of them. We're not talking about.
We're just not keeping our word now. You know, so I'm not. I don't. So I'm always kind of surprised when people are like pissed with the government. Like even now, right? They're on vacation. They're on vacation, and right, nobody knows what's in this infrastructure. But even though we explained it last week, and we'll probably touch on it again at some point. But this is like a real thing. This is crazy.
Yeah. And so you know, everybody's rushing out today, spending money
that they don't have.
Yep.
Well, or maybe they do.
No,
have.
They got the COVID
they
money.
They still got COVID cash.
COVID cash.
They still have COVID cash.
They still got money left from the COVID cars.
Yeah, gotcha.
So you know, it's a lot of things that we need to talk about today, and you know, being that we're here.
Yeah, but the last part of the Black Friday thing is, started in the 1950s, because of basically the Army Navy game, which used to be here, and it was a negative term all the way until the 80s, right? Until because they tried to call it Big Friday. Like, big retailers tried to call it Big Friday, but, you know, that didn't work. You know, the myth of it being, you know, slaves being sold on a Friday, that's not true. So that was, I think it was on Twitter or Instagram in 2014 by some irresponsible people.
Right.
You know, and I get it. It's not that far-fetched, but it's not right. So please stop saying it.
And it's true because traditionally during Black Friday, those were the days when retailers would hope that they would go from the red to the black.
Yeah, because their sales were terrible between January and November. The sales were usually trash.
Right, so they did that. But now it's so commercialized. Christmas sales, Thanksgiving sales start in July. So, you know, let's can Black Friday. Let's just can Black Friday. Yeah.
I usually wait till January anyway because they're trying to get rid of everything. So, man, that's what I used to tell my sister's kids. Like, listen, well, you want to do Christmas or you want a bunch of stuff in January?
We're into another segue here. Wow, you know, it's so much going on.
Oh, yeah, I pulled the numbers. It's ugly out here.
And it's so great that we could we have back with us Pedro.
Brother Pete.
With us, Brother Pete.
Stop that.
You know, and.
Hi, gentlemen.
Over the course of this Thanksgiving, Philadelphia reached another milestone, which is 500 murders that have been. We're not going to call them homicides. We're going to call them murders, plain old murders. You know, if you go to the Philadelphia Police Department website, it hasn't been updated to 500, but thanks to the interns and the folks at 6ABC, they have updated their numbers.
I think it might be 501 with the 15-year-old getting shot.
We don't know whether he died or not.
Okay.
But again, that's really irresponsible too, because when we start looking at this, and we're going to ask Pete some of these things because he was actually in. We're gonna go from what he used to do to what he's
doing.
Yeah, he was
working some of this era. He was working.
No shade.
It's okay.
This has not been since, 1990.
Wow. Yeah, there's been 500 murders.
1990.
That was the last time.
500 murders.
Wow.
Again.
In 1 year.
You know, so, and we're not even into December yet.
It's not over.
You know, and why is this happening? You know, we've thrown a lot of money at this stuff. We've thrown all of this. I mean, Pat went and pulled all the numbers from
1960
to now. The number of murders in the city of Philadelphia.
And the mayors.
and the mayors, you know, which is interesting. When we get down to Mayor Kenney in 2016.
Yeah, just numbers ain't there.
You know,
no
percentage
data.
By all firearms.
No data.
No data available. I can understand Richardson Dilworth. I can understand James Tate. You know, I can understand those early numbers.
Yeah, because computers didn't exist.
Because computers didn't exist, and, you know, people went to public school and had to do math. Which we really had to learn.
Still kept my toes.
Yeah. Wow. And then the other side of it is, you always say, you know, before we get into this, COVID is on the move again. 21 states have declared an uprise. It was 14 a week ago. Now it's 21.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that it may go up. So while everyone's out there thinking everything is peachy cream, we have the African nations, which there is another strain of COVID, where they are now
just conveniently
from, you know, African nations, Zimbabwe and all those, the Europeans,
in Africa,
Europeans have said they will not allow folks from Africa to come to the country.
Mm. You know, but even after they've been here, they've been in our country for over 100 years, stealing resources.
Yeah.
That's deep.
You know, it's really crazy. But what's our topic today?
Our topic today is Thanksgiving, a dark past.
Changing lives through civic engagement. Yeah. Changing lives through civic engagement. Our guests today are, wow, you didn't put them in here.
Go to the Facebook page.
Yeah, I got to go to my Facebook page.
But while he's doing that, we'll do the COVID numbers. So, yes, COVID is still here, people. The pandemic is not over. Sorry to burst your bubble. So, in the United States, we're at 1.7 million. With 33,247 confirmed deaths. it's terrible.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. 21 states on the rise. So we'll probably be up. But there are, I think I heard 18 million children have been vaccinated in the country. I believe that was on GMA this morning.
Oh, well, you know.
Yeah, so those numbers I would trust. Because they have people that actually work on these things day in and day out.
Yeah, there's actually like a team of people now, which I think is pretty professional.
So we can get real numbers.
Accurate reads. Worldwide, it's 260 million confirmed cases with 5.1 million confirmed deaths. The top five are United States, India, Brazil, United Kingdom, and Russia.
Interesting.
Yes.
Let's move on into this topic. Thanksgiving, a dark past and changing lives through civic engagement. Our guest today is Mr. Pedro Pete Villegas. He is a former Philadelphia police officer, former deep undercover agent serving Camden County Prosecutor's Office, PA's Attorney General's Office, retired special agent, Office of the U.S. Attorney General, CEO, Badlands Security, and author of Local in the Badlands. Local in the Badlands is inspired by Villegas' true case files. As an agent working deep, and you know, deep is not deep enough.
Not on this one.
No, deep, man. You got to go real. He's real deep undercover.
Yeah.
As a spinoff to his book, there will eventually be a television series and documentary, which I hear we may talk about, that is definitely moving forward.
That's correct.
Yeah, that's dope.
Joining us also was Ms. Kristen Britt. She is the founder and chief consultant of Inspire Me to Change, a consulting firm for small businesses and startups specializing in administrative support. Kristen is also a community activist wearing a variety of hats and sitting on various boards in the city with a commitment to addressing disparities in Black children in Philadelphia area. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. And to you, Pete.
Yes, sir.
Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know,
we've
had the opportunity to not only have you sit in the old studio,
yes,
but be here in the new studio.
Yeah, this is your first time here. Oh,
yes,
yeah,
it is.
In the new awesome. Studio and to be with you on several occasions while you spoke out to students at your old alma mater, Woodrow Wilson High School in Camden, New Jersey, right across the bridge, and to receive various awards.
That's correct.
You know, we've been with you through some of your interviews with 6ABC and Dan Quayle. So like we always say here, you never know where you'll find a member of Tone and Tenor or
That's
who
right.
we're with.
That's right.
Pete, we're going to start with Pete, Pat, before we go to break, and then we'll come back to Kristen and have dialogue between both. Is that fine with you?
Yeah, got about 4 minutes.
Yeah, we got 4 minutes. Pete, again, welcome back.
Thank you.
Tell us what's going on. You know, folks, when we say deep undercover, you've got to go to the website, go on and find out about this man and look at those pictures. Loco in the Badlands. For our listeners that are not from Philadelphia, Pete, tell us briefly about the Badlands. And, you know, I don't know why you're sitting by that window, but you know, you chose that seat.
Hey, they told me to sit here, so somebody must have known about the $10 million. It might have been, I don't know, I don't think it's you. Sniper from far away, hey, a mile away, they can hit you. If you don't know that, now you know.
We're not joking about that, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. not even close.
Dark joke, but yes.
Yeah, it is dark. It is. Yeah. It's very dark.
Finally got you back. Forget me when I walked in the studio late. So tell us about yourself a little briefly. We can send them to other shows, but why? What's in store for Loco and the Badlands? And what do you see as you came back to Philadelphia and to Camden and the shootings, the killings, and your thoughts on that?
Well, as you already know, there's a series, TV series coming. That's the latest update. And we'll leave the bill alone for now because it's too much to say in just one or less than an hour. Yeah. But we are signed with CBS, also Paramount Pictures, Dr. Phil Productions. We already have the director, so it's coming. And that's why I'm out here. We have the director already. We have the writers. I'm also producer and consultant. Consultant is the best part, which is even better than producer. And the reason I'm saying that is that's why I'm here. Yeah. Letting everybody know that we're bringing it to the city of Philadelphia, to the city of Camden. This whole area, if you read the book, there's all kinds of spots pertaining to all these areas. So what I am doing is bringing it back and giving back. You say, why? I mean, what do you mean by that? Is that when a series is done in certain locations, they get paid. So that brings, like, from janitors to writers to whatever, you know, everything involved in the series.
Yeah.
And I, as a consultant, help people get in.
Sure.
We're also collaborating. This one's a good one. You guys like this. I always give back, especially to the kids, to keep them away from drugs and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting tomorrow with some people and Angel Fuentes, who's a councilman in Camden. Mm-hmm. And what we're doing is they've asked me to come back at some point, but we're doing it starting, I believe, next week. And I'll let you guys come in at some point if you'd like.
Sure.
It's we're working with the education, Board of Education. Is I think the company that's going to be involved is Scholastic, and we're going to do nationally and, of course, statewide. What they're doing is filming what I am doing, getting little clips, putting it up, and I'm going to do speaking engagements all around the states, especially here first. But they're focusing on this area more, on what I've done. And, of course, even the series is based on the fact of not giving accolades to the drug lords, which is super important. You know, they're super. Every time you see a series, they almost idolize Pablo Escobar. They idolize El Chapo, and they don't focus on what's behind the scenes. And that's what we'll do, because not only is this series involving what I wrote, I really wrote this stuff and I experienced it. And I was told in Hollywood, again, I'm not, how should I say, giving a lot of credit to me. They're just telling me facts of that because I don't know Hollywood, guys.
Yeah.
I'm learning about it. And what they told me this.
You just spend some time in politics. It's the same thing.
It is. You're right. Here's the point there. But I, you know what I did?
What's up?
I made sure that who I am is not destroyed.
Sure.
Meaning the way that I speak. As you know, as minorities, all of us, anytime you see a show, what's the first thing they do? The big drug lords, you know, grabbing the groins, talking bad, whatever.
Sure.
But, and yeah, in street corners, of all colors, though, remember, they always portray us even more, sure. obviously. Mm-hmm. So what I made sure before I did anything, signed with anybody, is do not destroy my character. Mm-hmm. I speak well. I dress well. I don't have no disrespect for people who like tats. I don't have any. You know, and the reason for that, there's a reason to my madness. I am called a Loco for a reason, but also I'm pretty intelligent in what I say and do, you know, and keep and being here proves that.
Yeah.
I should be dead a long time ago, but I know what I'm doing. So my character being, I told them before I even signed anything, they walked in. I'm like, before you guys talk, here's the deal about this series.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have tats. I don't smoke. I don't drink. And in my world, women were out of limits. I know guys are like, it has nothing to do with being gay or nothing like that. Sure. It's just that the fact that we all know if we think with our other head, you're done.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And absolutely, you know, these are things that are important in what I do. So my character will not be demeaned, you know, and that's important because I want people to understand I, as a Puerto Rican and representing all of us, once I do something wrong, you know, they're going to just go dead to it. So I wanted to make sure they understood who I am, where I came from. I'm educated. I did. There's a truth about the fact. And the fact is, at some point, you'll see me do things to survive, is what I say.
Right.
You know, they're coming at me. And that world is probably the darkest you'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about history, again, that for somehow follows me. This will be the first time. Again, thank God it's a minority. Because I want to let people understand how important it is to get ahead and know what you're doing. Is that it would be the first time in Hollywood that a series is going to come out with a person that wrote the stuff, really experienced the stuff, and was there, wrote about it, and has all these things that come behind it. I don't want to seem arrogant about what I've done because I did not receive, as you know, all these accolades before.
Sure. Right.
Well, none. None.
Well, you still the accolade. The biggest accolade is that $10 million.
You ain't light enough. So, but with that said, real quick, we go to our. I guess this is the only commercial break.
Yeah, we're
today.
Yeah,
we'll take it. Today's topic is COVID-19, Thanksgiving, a dark past, and changing lives through civic engagement. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tony Tenna here on WWDB Talk 860 AM out of beautiful Ballard Kenwood, Pennsylvania. We could see downtown Philadelphia from our new studios.
Well, really, the free Comcast building that we gave them. We see both of them.
You got to remember, Pat had too much turkey this week.
Maybe not enough because I ain't sleep. I'm still woke. Our topic today is Thanksgiving, a dark past, and changing. Lives through civic engagement. We have on the phone with us Kirsten Britt, who is a community leader, activist, consumer professional, and child advocate. Kirsten, you there?
Are you there, Kirsten?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
There you go.
Hi, gentlemen. How are you today?
All right.
You use the term Randall loosely.
You know, I don't know.
I'm not getting into it.
Must have been too much turkey today or last night. Yeah, Kristen, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Don't know whether you were able to hear some of Pete's story, but he's been with us and a couple times we've been with him. And one of the things that we thought was really inspiring was the work that you do. And what he's doing, you know, and I have to keep saying this, you know, this man is actually, every time he makes an appearance somewhere, is putting his life in jeopardy. You know, for somebody that's taken down the cartel and you know, to do what he's doing now and now want to go into the schools and talk to the young people, you know, he's lived a life being deep undercover. and go talk to the young people, try to persuade them on what's going on. You know, we live in a city that's, you know, to me, they're glorifying murder. You know, I'm with Pat. I'm not calling it homicide. It's murder.
It's murder. It's what it is.
You know, so, and the only way that we can control this is have folks that are really boots on the ground, that are not after anything but to make real change, mm-hmm. not looking for part of $155 million that's being wasted. Yeah. You know,
yeah. You know. Can you talk to I know she did an event. Unfortunately, I don't think I was here. I think I was out of town. Can you speak to that event that you did a couple of weeks ago, where you kind of, you know, called everybody to the carpet?
So we held a protest. So one of the things that, in light of all the murders that are going on in the city, you know, you have an opportunity to try to lift up one side. So from the city side, you know, they're talking about how they want to fix things and how they want community organizations to really take hold and do what they do, and they want to support them in those spaces. Mm-hmm. However, when you look at the spaces, the so-called safe havens that the city provides for our young people, like rec centers, they are not places you will want your child to go. So if you have options, that wouldn't be your option. That wouldn't be your first choice. They're not places where they've been kept up, they have any kind of new facilities. And so we had a situation in the Cobb Creek section where we had multiple rec centers. One center got shut down due to a broken pipe, but it was a situation where they knew about it all summer. And they had our kids using porta potties outside in the summertime. And then as soon as summer was over, now all of a sudden it's this big issue, right, that they didn't know the extent of. And so it left us in a situation where they closed that particular rec center, split our kids between two different rec centers, where both of those rec centers are in the same position. Any day they could be shut down for the same reason, right, because they haven't been kept up. So it's one thing to then split them and put them in these different spaces, but one of my issues and a community issue was that one of those rec centers, we deal with gang wars, right? That's still a very real thing. Mm-hmm. So territory is still a very real thing. And so once some young people from the south side of 60th Street went to one of the rec centers that they have now put our young people at, and they didn't come home. So it's like a very real thing. And so for me, it was like, well, how are we going to walk our kids into murder? Like, why are we walking our kids into these situations where instead of finding new opportunities and doing what we're supposed to do for our young people and provide these real safe havens? So we held a protest outside of Sayre Recreation Center where that could have, and in its heyday, was a fabulous facility, right? It had a Olympic-sized pool. Oh, yeah. A lot of people were trained there. That pool had been closed for 5 years. Still closed, mind you. Closed for 5 years. And
I didn't know that. I live several blocks from there. Yeah, I didn't know the pool was closed.
Right. And so it's not because the community doesn't make noise and the community doesn't want these things. It's because the community gets ignored, right? And that's a constant. So until somebody makes dramatic noise, then all of a sudden the things that we were told it takes all of this red tape, you got to go through all of these policies and procedures, magically starts to happen overnight. And so we had a protest, a little visual. I had to be a little dramatic because I don't think that sometimes people really get how dramatic this is and how traumatizing it is for our young people. So you speak about, for me, it's about normalizing murder in our communities. So I put a whole casket on the street, block the street off, put a casket out in the middle of the street, because this is what our young people see. That's the last image of their friends that they're seeing. And I needed city council, I needed Parks and Rec, I needed them to see what our kids see. So we had to get a little visual for them so that they understand, like, this isn't right, it isn't normal, and just because you have normalized it doesn't make it normal. Mm-hmm. We went to, just in another situation, like Bucks High School had a shooting right after school, like 3:07, right when the kids were getting out of school. And they had a shooting and one of their students got shot. The next day, I was there at 9 a.m. The next day, all I saw was one school police car. And I'm confused. All the kids were at school, so where do we show them that we support? First of all, why are they at school? Why are they at school the next day? Why do you not think that was traumatizing?
Yeah.
If it happened at my job, you wouldn't ask me to come to work the next day. So why are we asking our children, just because it happens in their neighborhood, just because it happened at their school, why are we asking them to think that this is okay? Because that's what we're saying.
You know, hold that thought for one second. Pete, I want to bring you into this. You know, as a former everything, you know, realizing when you were a Philadelphia police officer, when you worked for the U.S. Attorney General's office, even when you were deep undercover, and as a student over in Camden, Woodrow Wilson, what from your perspective, you know, and even with your new company, Badlands Security, what perspective can come out of this? How would back in the day, let's call it, this would be handled? Because, you know, this is now, as Christian said, we are now, you know, making this a norm. You know, just last night, 15-year-old shot sitting in a car. You know, it's almost like we're making this a norm. People are numb to this. What, from your perspective, because you have more insight than any of us.
Well, let's put some perspective. Right, let's put some perspective on it. It was a 15-year-old being shot while I don't know if it was he or her. I'm sorry.
It was a he.
While they were bringing groceries in the house, and the teenager went and sat back in the car in the passenger side.
Now,
You know what I'm saying? That's crazy. Like,
if you read my book, first of all, talk about normalizing.
Right.
I'm gonna get to a quick point. Is that I lived in Harlem. Remember, right. I was raised there in the basement of a high rise. It was an apartment. Mm. And all I saw was, and remember, I always tell people, there was only one Harlem to me. In them days, there was no Spanish Harlem.
No.
That's what you know.
Yeah.
And you guys probably knew this.
Yeah.
But here's the point that I'm making. Coming out, I'm going to say, bring it to the point as a student. I came from Puerto Rico at 2, so obviously, you know, I was at home a lot. But when I started going to school and seeing my visual, so that you understand that I do understand what she's talking about. Mine's is a little darker, obviously. Mm. My stuff is always dark. I don't know why. It just happens that way. Walking out of my basement apartment, seeing trash cans on both sides, not my trash, trash of 100 people above us. Mm. That's horrible. Rats and roaches. Okay, I got bit by a rat, which I still have that sign for going to sleep and not washing my hands, which I was told to do, and you know, kids don't listen anyway. But the point that I'm making here is, imagine, we're talking about students, right? Going to kindergarten in Harlem, watching to my left and to my right, dope dealers, you know, prostitutes, pimps, gangsters, you know, people with needles in their arms, some dead, some not. Mm-hmm. I didn't go to check them out. They would say, go straight. And I got escorted by my parents, my mother, my dad, my uncle. Now that, what I always tell people is, that is how I became a local and did what I did and could withstand what I did in the future. Mm-hmm. Now, also, this gets dark, like I said, seeing all these things, friends of mine not coming to school, knowing that they got shot already. We're talking about elementary school, before elementary school, you know, just kindergarten. Come on. And then high school, you know, later on I came to Jersey. I was a teen already. So most of my schooling, or a lot of it, was done in New York City, in Harlem. So I get, and people look at things and say, wow, that's new. No, it's been here. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's different, and I keep telling people this, is this has always been happening. You know why you get the numbers like you're doing right here, right now, and can do it? Why? Hey, the news, everything has gotten a lot faster. Yeah. Why? Computers. And we didn't have computers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So this is not new.
Mm-mm.
It's all now it's just numbers that you can get out of a computer and just do it nationally. Before something happened down the street, it wouldn't get into the news. And you know in our neighborhoods, it was never in the news. Oh, now you get kill somebody in a white area, I don't care who it is. Oh my God, Jesus, right. You know, and God forbid it was done by any minority. Then they're really coming to get them, and they do get them. So going back to my day, let's say as a cop, it was happening. You know, of course, we had less minorities. I had issues working in Philly as a cop because, as you know, in my day, I should have even been there. I wanted to get that uniform off so quickly because, sad to say, you know, you start in a job with a purpose. Yeah. You hope to improve. You hope to do certain things. Mm-hmm. The saddest part that I say about doing what I did, and I hate to admit this all the time, I was more comfortable and more secure working with the bad guys than the good guys.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you why. I was always, and it's sad, isn't it? Trying to get set up and whatever.
Let's just think about this. This is the same thing that Christian is saying.
Yes.
And she can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, go ahead.
That she's actually, you know, she had to go a different route to so-called politicians to even listen, you know, and, you know, sometimes, and Christian, did you get any feedback from Anthony Williams, Jamie Gauthier, Joanna McClintock, you know, all of those folks have been on this same, you know, the youngest one of that group would be Jamie Gauthier into the political world. But all I'm saying the same thing, but I can't give Jamie a pass because she worked for Parks and Recs at one time. So this she knows.
She worked or she sat on the board?
It's one or the other.
I know she that was she involved. Was...
with Parks and Rec. Now she is the
chair. Yeah.
So,
but I mean, here's the thing. When he goes back to what he said earlier, right? So just to give y'all some context why Kirsten had to do what she did, 200 kids have been shot and 32 are dead. 200 kids, right? And then you remember the show a couple shows ago when I gave the numbers of all of the black and brown people that are under 25.
You broke it,
And I pulled those numbers when I was doing speeches for Haywood, right? So it's not news. Like you said, it's not news.
It's not news.
I pulled numbers from 2015, and I think they blocked out the numbers for 2020 when I did it. You know what I'm saying?
Because
they
what that
so,
was.
So what has been the response, Christian, from some of these elected officials,
if any?
Are you with us, Christian?
So there has been a response. So they came out to the particular protest, and
were the TV cameras there?
Oh, of course.
Okay, so now that's why they came out.
So they did come out. We were working with another community organization as well. And so what has been the focus is, and Parks and Rec came out as well. The commissioner for Parks and Rec came out as well.
Susan
we
Buck.
Has been working on McCaffrey.
Okay.
The white lady.
Yeah.
I mean, again, she has no brown or black children, you know. So,
I said to them, I said, listen, we're in a space where you wouldn't, no shade to anybody, but none of you have kids that go to, none of you have children that go to a rec center that look, period.
Or attend public school.
Just gonna call it what it is. Right. So, even one of those.
Yeah.
So, this isn't your issue, it's ours. But they have been, working to get the pool reopened, and so I'll definitely say that they did offer to put money up, but that building, what a lot of people don't know is that at Fair Recreation Center is actually, the building itself is owned by the school district, and so the reason why a lot of stuff doesn't get done is because they play politics with our children's lives. So
literally,
Parks and Rec doesn't want to do stuff because they're like, oh, well, that's school district. School district doesn't want to do stuff because they're like, oh, that's Parks and Rec. In the meantime, and this is what I told them, in the meantime, this casket becomes a very, 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 very real thing for our young people while y'all play these games. So we are in a process, and they have been moving forward. The school district has committed to $3.2 million towards the rec center in order to get it going, because it needs a new roof in order for that pool to
Can I ask a question? Do you know who the person that made that commitment, because, you know, we're going to hold them to their feet to the fire. I told them in 2022, I'm calling names, and we're going to hold feet to the fire here on Tone & Tenor. Because as you said, our children, our elders are being taken advantage of, and these folks are sitting there, you know, talking the same bull crap that, I remember when six youth got shot in Kensington, and there was this big meeting. I forgot the church on 58th Street. And then, you know, and I'll say this, I have the picture to prove it. Then she just got in office. State Rep. Joanna McClinton sat up there sleeping. Then Councilwoman Janie Blackwell came in late. And then Senator Anthony Williams said, okay, everybody, all the reporters leave the room. And that's when they decided they were going to throw money out all over there on Cobbs Creek, the basketball court at Baltimore and Cobbs Creek for a summer league. That doesn't solve the problem.
Can I?
Yeah, go ahead.
For 1 second. As you already know about education, you guys do, but they don't know, the public, what I'm trying to do. Well, I'm going to do with the Scholastic and Angel Fuentes. This is big, and I'll tell you why. What I'm going to try to do, what I'm doing already, I've been doing it, as you guys already know, speaking to the kids. You have to stop certain things at the root. And like I said earlier, seeing movies and TVs, you know, guys know about all this, the chains, the women, the cars and all that. Mm-hmm. Seeing someone like me that's been there,
sure,
done that, mm-hmm, and I, you know, people say, what did you do? When you give back, you know, and I could have stayed in the dark, $4.2 billion in assets. $2.5 billion in drugs, mm-hmm, not to stay in that world after being in the dark for 10 years. Mom died and didn't go to the funeral. Right. A lot of things that I sacrificed. Now, here's the time. My attorney said, what are you doing? You know there's a bounty on your head and, you know, people in the corner is going to do whatever. It's about giving back. But the main point is the kids, they start learning and seeing. When they see our show, hopefully, or see me at the schools in person and say, wow, this guy did what? And wait a minute, he's back in the schools telling you not to do the drugs. Mm. Because, all right, I did it at the high end, but I also did it at the very low end, too. Sure. I was in the streets or whatever. So when I'm, as a cop, by the way, but the point is.
You got to clarify that.
Yeah, we got to clarify
all right,
that.
For the kids that are listening.
Yeah, right. I always clarify it from day one.
Sure.
Is that if you go to these schools, you know, it's good to talk the talk. I always say that. Have you done that? Did you do that? Wow, wait a minute. This guy really did it. It's really here. He's risking his life all over again and going to schools.
Yeah, talking
so
cheap.
It's like nipping it in the bud. But again, like I say, the accolades to Pablo Escobar, El Chapo. Now, wait a minute. Pedro Villegas. Wow, Pete Villegas. Wait a minute. This guy did what? And gave it all back to the government. We don't know where that money went, obviously.
Yeah,
but
I didn't want to say nothing because you know that was my next question.
I saw your smoke coming out of your ears. Like, wait, I don't know. But here, the point of all this is, mm-hmm, seeing a real live person, telling them this heart, the sorrows, everything that occurred, you know, and why you don't go there. And yeah, I survived.
Yeah.
But I tell them about the people that don't survive. Even the agents that made one mistake.
Yeah.
You know, it's not take one, take two, like in the show that's going to happen with me. One take and you're done. Yeah. So they see this and they're like, whoa, wait a minute. I might not want to go into the drugs because all they do is put young kids out there with the, you know, the gold. Or you just name it.
Yeah. And that's making them targets.
Exactly. That's why I'm trying to avoid. If we can save a few, and hopefully I'll do Philly, I want to. But I think we're going to do national, international. But my area is all this area. Mm-hmm. That's what I hope to do and give back.
Well,
and again,
well, it
you
seems
know,
like it
life.
Seems like you know, as Krista said about the the casket. I remember Reverend Floyd. He rode around with his crusaders with the casket on. He was a one man crusade riding through the streets of Philadelphia with the caskets. Trying to scare
people. There was another brother that did that.
Scare people straight. The Undertakers.
I can't remember his name, but he
actually did the same thing. The Quaker City, the Undertakers.
Really?
But see, we just can't do it for one day.
No.
You know.
Constantly.
And that's where we dropped the ball at. And you know, I was just sitting here thinking, you know, we've experienced you talking to students.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Listen, man. This guy had the whole room. I was really
and the questions that these young people.
Yeah.
And some of the fear that we have pictures.
And he did it in two languages.
But you know what? Yeah, exactly.
That was even more impressive.
Here's the impressive thing. They didn't want to leave.
No.
They were captivated.
I mean, literally their teachers and the principal had to.
You're right.
Had to usher them out. So, you know, and I'm sitting here thinking, you know, maybe this is what we need to do to upset some of our politicians.
Well, I don't.
Is to bring somebody like Pete into the alongside Christian and what she's trying to do into these rec centers, you know, and really bring light to this whole problem.
Yeah, but I don't want to make it about them. Like they're irrelevant.
We're not,
and I'm gonna tell you why they're irrelevant. Because again,
we still need them to get the money to fix this stuff that she needs.
If they don't listen to us, we need to get them out. Like, it's not really at this point. Right. You know, you either, because the difference between Republicans and Democrats is what? They fall in line and Democrats fall out. It's Republicans fall in line and Democrats fall out. If y'all think I'm lying, look at the history. Look at the redder states, right? The reason why they're able to hold, even here, like our House and Senate is red. Period, right? Like ain't nothing getting through.
It's about getting elected, remember. Yeah. What you want to hear. I've talked to politicians.
Yeah.
And you know there's a bill that I'm trying to get through, as you mm-hmm. guys know. Very interesting. People think it's about me loving cops. Yeah, there's people that work with me. There's good cops and bad cops, like I always say.
Sure.
You know? But it's about the people that are lost in the families, like it happened to me. Remember, I was single with a child, thrown through the street, came back, did what I did, and guess what? Came back, gave all that up, thrown back. We don't care. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. So it's never what I do. If you listen to what I do and really listen and really interview me, it's never about me. I wouldn't be here talking to you guys. I wouldn't. Like you said, what are you doing? My attorneys have said that. Mm. Why? Why? Because I've been through it, seen it.
Yeah.
And guess what? Never had any protection. But I think if I was a little different, I might have. I don't know.
Mm.
But again, the point is about widen the people's eyes, their minds, and really looking into what is really out there. You don't think what's happening out here is about drugs and about all these other things? No education for our kids and all that?
Yeah.
They need to be educated.
Yeah, but it's like in Philly, there's specifically 10 zip codes, which I've said, so just go back to the old show. I'm not saying it again. And it really boils down to, like, even with the schools, right? Just in Philly, they closed 23 schools.
Wow.
And they were advised not to.
I didn't know that.
They were advised several times
wow.
not to do that. You know why? Because what happens is to Kirsten's point, places and things get consolidated, right? And then you're putting this hood with this hood. This set, this gang with this gang.
Well, like she said, it's the north side against the
it's a real
it's
thing.
South side.
It's a real thing.
You know, in West Philadelphia, but it's only the pockets. If our elected officials would stay out of the predominantly white parts of their districts and stop being fearful and go into those other parts of their district and be seen, you would see what's going on.
Yeah. You need a certain level of cachet and bravery.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to say something about this whole political piece, right?
Yeah.
So there is an accountability that we just don't hold our officials accountable. So we have I liken it to like foster children, and they have a loyalty to their parents, their birth parents that might be undeserved, right? But it's just there because they hope and they want and they desire for them to be different one day. So they give them like a pass a lot of times that they don't necessarily deserve. And outside people are like, why would you want to go back home? It's crazy over there. But we kind of do the same thing, especially in our community, from a Democrat standpoint. So we have given the Democratic Party this undeserved loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to vote. Whatever y'all throw up, we're going to vote. And we're going to support it, even if it doesn't serve us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to hold anybody because we don't even know how to, right? So we're not even educated. It's like, what's worse, an uneducated voter or a non-voter? Like, I'd rather you just not vote. And that's me. Because when you go into a space uneducated, you then take on the ideas and the principles of whoever is educated. So I tell people, as a committee person, when I pass you a ballot, when it come up, they're like, oh, and I'm like, you want to take a ballot? They just take it. And they take it and then they vote whatever. And they do that because they know, like, and trust me. And they think that this is who I support. But that's not necessarily true. And it's not necessarily who I think might be best serving our community. But you take it because you didn't do the work yourself. And they're banking on you not doing the work. And they're banking on you no liking and trusting me. And you taking this and voting their agenda versus us giving them an agenda to vote.
Sure.
So we're putting people in office off of undeserved loyalty. Then we don't hold them accountable to anything because, one, we've never presented them with anything. So we go and we're like, oh, what is their agenda? What's your plan? What do you want to do in our community? Why am I asking somebody who doesn't live in my community what they want to do in my community? I know what needs to be done in my community, so I should be communicating that to you, because that's what goes on in the white neighborhood. They're communicating to people who are running for office what needs to be done in their community, and then they're going to hold them accountable to that. And so we have to do this differently. It's not enough to tell people to go vote. Like, no, I need you to know what you're voting for, who you're voting for, and then how to hold them accountable in that process.
Yeah, this last judge election was a prime example of that.
So, you know, we got a couple minutes,
we'll give them the floor. Yeah, Let me run these numbers real quick. We won't go too far. We'll go back 10 years. So the last 10 years from 2021 to... I guess we'll do 12. 2009. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 years Nutter was in office. At his height, the percentage of people being shot or that were murdered was 80 with a gun was 84.8% in 2012.
I'm going to say something. Mm-hmm. Interesting fact. Wilson Good, that quote unquote, the first black mayor, second black mayor.
Was that had mean? The, Does that mean something?
No. Oh,
okay.
No. For some people, it may, but, you know, I know how you think.
Okay.
He had the last 500 murders in the city of Philadelphia. Mm. So, you know, he's probably breathing a sigh of relief after the next one. And I'm not saying that to be funny, but no, that's another stigma he had over his head. And
that was yeah, that plus know, the move thing.
You know.
Yeah.
He ain't never going to recover from that.
No.
And, I guess the height for Jim Kenney, or James Kenney, is 2021.
Right. It's so looking we're at like 500 right now.
Yeah, but again, there's no statistical data available from 2016 all the way to now. That percentage is nowhere to be found. John Street's highest percentage was 84.5%.
Second black mayor.
In 2006, and that was 406 murders. Ed Rendell was 80%, and that was 292 murders.
Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So with that said, you know, these numbers are 30 seconds, Pete. You know, we're gonna bring you back because I know you're gonna got more to say because you always got a lot to say.
Always. Yeah.
We give you 30 seconds, and then we'll give Kristen 30 seconds, and then we'll close
up. How people get in touch with you too?
And how to get in touch with you and get your book?
Yes. Yes, as you already know, or most people don't know, you can get the book Local in the Badlands in Amazon. Also, Barnes & Noble's, just about anywhere. We do have a security company. I'm the CEO. But the important thing is also the series coming out to bring reality to what really happens. Mm-hmm.
Hey,
and how it works.
Like I said, Tony Turner's going to be everywhere.
Hopefully you're there.
Hey, I'm just saying.
Hey, we already talked about that. You'll be there.
I'm bringing people lunch. I just need pay me $150 a day. I'm good.
Hey, listen. This is all workable. Believe it or not, we are gonna do something.
Putting my bid in.
Yeah.
Christian.
And of course, we're gonna film in the areas. So how does it pertain to this area, yeah. Philadelphia, and this whole area, Camden, New Jersey, New York? We're filming. More jobs, and of course, the schools. Mm. We're working something. As soon as I get the exact details, I will give them to you because that's really important.
Awesome.
And that's what a lot of this show is about, you know, educating the kids and telling them about certain things and who I am.
Okay, awesome. So,
okay.
Kirsten, got about 45 seconds.
Still so there? I just want to, yeah.
So they kidnapped
Sorry for the delay.
No, you're fine.
Yeah. No, I just want to just there's people around, even looking up sites like the Committee of 70, just find some ways to educate yourself around voting so we can deal with these issues from a political side, from an educated space. Mm-hmm. Find some non-biased opportunities and stop voting undeserved loyalty. That's all I really have to say on that.
I like that, undeserved loyalty. Like
how can people get in touch with you?
You can find me on any platform, any social media platform under Kirsten Britt.
Okay, cool. No permanent friends, no permanent enemies, just permanent interest, folks.
Yep. So we want to thank our guests. We want to thank Mr. Pedro Pete Velez, former Philadelphia police officer, former deep undercover agent serving Camden County Prosecutor's Office, and a whole lot more. And local, he is the author of Local in the Badlands. And we want to thank Ms. Kirsten Britt, founder and chief consultant of Inspire Me to Change. Listeners and our followers, you can see more of our show on social media. On Twitter, we are at Tone and Tenor. Mm-hmm. On Instagram, we are at Tone and Tenor Radio. To find us on Facebook, just type in the words in www.facebook.com/Tone and Tenor. You can listen to our podcast on SoundCloud and on WWDB website. Please look out for and support us and our partners as we serve the communities in and surrounding greater Philadelphia, Montgomery, Delaware County, Delaware, New Jersey. When you know, never know, we are just in Atlanta. It's been an interesting year to say the least, but we are all still standing. I have much to be grateful for and aspire to. Wishing you, your family, and your loved ones a happy holiday full of abundance, good cheer, positivity, peace, good food, and warm memories. We are thankful to those of you that support our show and our community endeavors. Happy Thanksgiving. Happy holidays. Thank you to our engineer. I forgot his name. Weston TJ. We are two. I'm Randall Jefferson.
I'm Pat Edward.
Thank you for listening to Tone and Tenor, Bipartisan Voices of People, here on WWDB Talk 860 AM.
Can't change the world unless we change ourselves. Die from the sicknesses.